It's okay if you aren't ready for kids right now. It's okay if you don't want to be a mom now or even ever. It's nobody's decision but yours. But do you know what's not okay? Not knowing how effective your birth control is. Talk to your doctor about effective birth control options so you can make an informed decision. Tap to learn more.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Well, we talk about the first brand new car Matt's ever ordered since I've been in his life. The Ford Mustang, and exactly what he did to dial it in. Record-breaking E30 M3. I'm just going to say record-breaking because...
Yeah, on a bring-a trailer sale.
Yeah, and much more. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other. How about you do a little bundling? Make it easy. Take the homeowner's or the renter's insurance and bundle it up with your automotive policy at Geico. You just go down to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could be saving. So easy to do at geico.com. Get your bundle on over at Geico.
Yeah, we talk hoops on Robert Horry's new podcast, The Big Shot Bob Pod.
I would have loved to play with LeBron because if you get down, get open, get to where you're supposed to be, he's going to find you. Feel like he got robbed for MVP.
But with Robert Horry, we cover the floor and we talk about everything. And so your youngest is a teenager.
So he's not going to high school right now. He's doing everything via Zoom. And his dad, can you help me? Nope, I'm running away. Run.
From the team that brought you the big podcast with Shaq, it's The Big Shot Bob Pod. Coming your way soon on the Podcast One app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, livebylive.com, and everywhere you get your favorite podcasts.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. This is CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea.
Hello. How are you?
I'm busy as shit, but good, running around all over the place. Projects abound. Talking about getting the Lincoln Aviator Black Label.
Yeah. Label Grand Touring All-Wheel Drive Hybrid.
Yeah, plug-in. I would always call it black, and I was hesitant to add the word label because I thought, am I just drunk on Johnny Walker and that's a black label thing, or is the black label with the Lincoln? And yes, it is with the Lincoln.
Right. The other one is
interior.
Is Mercedes, right? Don't they have a black series?
Yeah, they're just black, but they're not a black label. But then there's Johnny Walker.
Johnny Walker's the only other black
has
label.
Has a black label thing.
Line, yeah.
So we got all that working for us. So hopefully we'll take in delivery of that soon, and we'll be able to give you updates on that. I've been driving the Z everywhere, which is it's been fun. It's a little too small for me. It's hard getting in and out. Mm-hmm. Its knees are kind of bent up. You've no place to put anything, and the phone doesn't connect. But fun.
It's a sports car. Every day driving in a sports car.
Yeah, it pulls nice, you know. It tacks up nice. It's nimble. There's something to be said for it.
Are you a heel toe master now?
Nah, I just put it on
on the rev match.
Yeah, I just put on sport and it rev matches, but it does rev match on the way up and on the way down. So it's a little disconcerting on the way up because you're shifting from fifth into sixth, and it goes, and you're like, you feel like your foot slipped or hit something or whatever. It's not the sound of a mistake. So when you rev match and you're downshifting, that's the sound of excellence.
Yeah.
It sounds like you really know what you're doing. When you hear the rev match on the way up, going from third to fourth, and it goes, that's the sound of incompetence. It sounds like you made a mistake.
Yeah.
But I never even knew that they rev matched on the way up as well. But you and I were talking about it off the air.
Yeah.
And it rev matches on the way up.
Yeah.
I'm not I don't know why that's necessary.
I just don't think it knows the difference between upshift and downshift. It's just meant to, when you push in the clutch, it's meant to match the revs. And it doesn't, like, for it to know what you're thinking.
Oh, you're right.
If you're up or down, how would it, you know,
it would never
really know.
Yeah. It should, but I'm unreadable. I'm like the wind. I'm an enigma. I'm a lone wolf. Yeah, you're right. It doesn't know what direction
know.
You're going, so it just blips it. And if you catch it on the way down,
yeah,
you look like a pro. And if it's on the way up, you seem weird. But yes, you're right. It would be impossible for the car to know. So it just blips it for you. All right. So I'm still driving that bad boy around. Those guys are working feverishly on the 510 BRE Mobile, getting it painted. And hopefully the assembly will go pretty quickly on that car. Took a lot of body prep, and it suffered some damage when it was being transported over here from New Mexico.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Sounds about right. Anyway, fell off the gimbal, and it fucked up the back apron thing and whatever that panel is where the lights are.
Yeah.
So, you know, what else is new? But
when they said it was basically done.
That's they said. But once it's painted, we're going to be able to start hanging stuff off that car. And that process goes really fast. That's visually, there's a lot of visual progress in that process. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because, and like we mentioned before, it helps to have the other car there. You know, the number 85 BRE car. Like, it's good to have sort of a visual roadmap of what it takes to put that thing together.
Yeah, they were all maybe a little bit different from one another, but not much. And it's good to have that template. Mm-hmm. You got Dodge, or did I make that up?
Yeah. Let me just hit Dodge. The Dodge was ranked number one for initial quality and best driver appeal for mass market brands by J.D. Power. You know, it's the first brand ever to be ranked number one for initial quality and appeal in the same year. So see your local Dodge dealer or visit Dodge.com to schedule a test drive today.
So what are you driving? What's in your world?
You know, so we talked last week about the Volvo XC60 Recharge, the plug-in hybrid, which I did like. I think it's you know, beautiful interior. It's gotten better. You know, their initial plug-in hybrid was a little clunky going between gas engine and hybrid. And all the new vehicles are figuring out ways to make that smoother. Which is, I bring that up because it's going to be relevant as you get into your new Lincoln Aviator. It is hybrid, a plug-in hybrid, and it does sort of go on and off between, but it is full-time all-wheel drive. So it's not, it's funny because the Volvo, I think, was front-wheel drive with the gas engine, and then the electric motor can kick in, and it's a select all-wheel drive. And you kind of did feel the, hey, I'm in front-wheel drive, and now I'm in all-wheel drive. And I don't know you're going to have that in the Lincoln. It's a little bit different. But anyway, traded that in to test the Jaguar F-Type R. Now, this is a car that we both like. Ian Callum, who designed the Aston Martin DB9, went to Jaguar long ago. He's since retired, started his own design firm. So it's got a lot of that, that sports car front engine kind of. It's a smaller version of a DB9, right?
And, yeah, that I think I haven't checked recently, but those kinds of Jags, if you can find one that's 4 years old and has low mileage and a single owner, get it. That'll be the most sports car you can get for the price.
It is. So the first version we drove several of the F-Types, and then we drove the F-Type SVR, which is the nutty version. They had an R, and they realized the R was so much power as a rear-wheel drive platform when they ended up going to an all-wheel drive platform. So this new car is... It's got a little bit of a facelift. They nipped and tucked the exterior bit. It's a little smoother. It's got a little bit squintier eyes in the front with the headlights. They revamped the infotainment system, which has always been kind of one of the things that Jaguar and Range Rover had to improve. And CarPlay plugs in and stuff. But they actually toned down the exhaust note a little bit. I would say that Jag SVR was probably the one of the loudest production cars this side of Lamborghini Aventador. Like, it's just loud. So this new one has a great sound, but they did tone that down a little bit. So it's a little bit more livable for the people that don't want to make a ruckus. But it's still, you know, it's all-wheel drive. It's 575 horsepower. It's fast as hell. It's, you know, I don't know, mid-30-second range, 0 to 60. Like, it's just an animal of a car. And it really is just a pretty, pretty car. Just a really sexy car.
What's the sticker on it?
I think the one that I have in there is like 110.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could be 117.
And what color should you get that car in?
I don't know. The one I have is yellow, and I'm saying no on that, but you know how I feel about the yellow ones. There's a lot of white ones with the red rolling around, which always look kind of good.
Yeah, red interior.
But I believe they have sort of this metallic red, like a little bit darker metallic red, which is good. They have a couple of blues, but they meant to be kind of fun and sporty as well. They have a bright blue that's almost, you know, like the colors that you have on the square on your logo here, that brighter blue. They have a version of that, kind of the mm-hmm. non-metallic mm-hmm. Bright blue. Different car companies have a different name for it. I think that's a darker blue. They have a brighter blue, which maybe not even an SVR, but look at this. It's a pretty car. We're looking at a photo of it now.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous car. The color I was thinking of is more like Ford's Grabber blue.
Mm-hmm.
And BMW did
a Laguna Seca blue.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah. They did a Laguna Seca blue. The Imola red is always the best with the BMWs. Speaking of BMWs, I think I was on Bring a Trailer the other day, and there's an E30 M3 Evo. Evo is like the 2.3's been punched out to a 2.5, and they made 600 factory versions of it, and blah blah blah.
And lighter weight.
I'm sure they did a couple of things to it. I'm not sure about the lighter weight. I used to know more about those cars. I don't know. It had like Recaro seats or something. I think it was on there for like the bid was like at 250. Or something, and there were 4 days left, or something. I'm screwing up those numbers, but...
Yeah, but anywhere near that, I get your point.
It was like well this, over 200 grand. Yeah, the Evo, the thing that's funny, it's funny how we used to think, like the E30 M3 was like a 2.3 with 191 horsepower, and then the Evo was a 2.5 that had 210.
Yeah,
or something. Actually, that was a big deal. But now, obviously, the Honda minivan's got 300. Not quite as impressive. People really forget how gutless those cars are. But
I was years ago. I was talking to Paul Walker about his collection, and the cars that really stood out for him were his E36
lightweights, right?
And I think he had two of those. He said one he had a few miles on, one with almost nothing.
Right.
And not everything has, I guess, been sold off at this point. But, I remember him going, oh, show me on his phone. He's like, look at this lightweight, this car. This is the one that's basically no miles on it.
Those are cool pieces. You know, radio delete, blah, blah. I don't know, aluminum roof or something, or no sunroof or whatever it is. You know, cloth interior, blah, blah, blah.
But you think about the horsepower stuff
but
like
they
you're
didn't,
talking about.
I don't think they changed. It would have been nice on the E36 M3 lightweights if they goosed the engine from like 240 to 265 or something like that. Fucked around with the cams or something.
Yeah.
I don't think they must with the engine. I think it was just they shaved, 110 pounds off the thing.
And a lot of the modern BMWs, like the M's, and then when you get into like the competition package or something, there is a little bit of a bump in horsepower. And I think just a few days ago, BMW announced a BMW M5 CS. Which is, it's 140 something grand. It's like 617 horsepower. It hauls ass. It's got like a 230 pound diet. you know, just a lot of carbon fiber pieces, slightly less sound deadening. But it was interesting. I was talking earlier the week with Alistair Weaver from Edmunds, and he's like, this is a high kind of want for him. He's like, I don't know if you can get it for sticker, but they're only going to make a few hundred. It's the last like super sporty BMW before they're all going to that giant ridiculous buck tooth grill that the new M3s, M4s, and the 7 Series and the big trucks have. So it's kind of the last of that. And only making a few hundred, it could be a collectible super sedan.
Yeah, you're not – look, whether it's a Mustang or an M3 or an M-whatever, you're never going to get burned by going with the small batch stuff. Yeah. You may have to wait 15 years, but you're not going to get burned. What is that E30 M3 up to over there?
Yeah, 256.
Wow. Oh, it's sold.
Oh, it's sold.
Yeah,
256, 556.
That's wow. And look, it's a perfect example. Looks the same as an E30.
Yeah.
And an E30 M3, which might go for 75K, 60K, 100K. Yeah. Kind of depends on the mileage. But they made 600 of them, and they have a few unique, you know, qualities to them.
And what was the mileage on this one? Because it looks new. It's,
I think,
right,
it's
up
like
there.
20 or 30 grand or something like that.
24,000 miles.
Yeah, it wasn't that much, but it wasn't nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, the car was definitely driven. Looks like it's got a little add on to the rear spoiler. Couple little items, but we're living in a world now, people, where a mass-produced car from 1990 that's a four-cylinder is 250 grand. And they made 600 of them. They didn't make 31 of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because you do look at it as well, and you're like, all right, if you wanted to spice it up a little bit, maybe not this one, super rare, low miles, but like these E30s, you're like, yeah, it's, you know, I'm going to do a little bit of work to it. And what are you going to get? 15, 18 horsepower? You know, unless you start getting into heads and displacement and strokers, and it's like, what's the bolt-on stuff going to get you?
Well, you know, you do some cat-back exhaust and maybe some throttle bodies or injectors or some shit like that. No, it's naturally aspirated. If you're not talking about bolting on a turbocharger or a supercharger, if you're just talking about tweaking what's there, you're going from, you know, 191 horsepower to 202 horsepower, like maybe, but that's after 7,000 RPM. You know, I don't think, you know, what a lot of people don't get until you buy a small displacement motorcycle, like, you know, I had like a Ninja 600, a couple of Ninja 600s, you know, you go, we put this Kirker pipe on and you get an extra 5 horsepower, but you get an extra 5 horsepower after 10,000 RPM. That's what they don't tell you.
Yeah. And are you getting it at the engine or are you getting it at the tire? Because now you're 3.8.
Below 10,000 RPM, you're getting a lot of bogging down, you know, because the other pipe has more back pressure or whatever, and it's built for that engine. Mm-hmm. So what you don't really realize is it makes it, at least back in the day, slightly less rideable. And unless you're getting way up in the power band, you don't really even feel it. So, no, I think you get a car like this and you get it just to look at it and say you have it and go for you know, tooling around. I mean, you take a car like that Evo 2.5 E30 1990 M3, that's a lot of numbers. You get that car, that Z car that's parked 15 feet from where we're sitting right now, would just whoop ass on that car like all day long for $37,000, like all day long. I mean, if you took that Z car and that M3 over to Willow Springs, the Z car, you know, beat it by 11 seconds a lap.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it would just whip the shit out of it. But that's technology.
Yeah.
You know, that's where we're at.
And hopefully that one you have, that 50th anniversary, because they only made 50 in that color, maybe that's going to be worth $256,000 one day on Bring a Trailer.
Yeah. I know I'm drinking a little too much coffee in it and throwing my cans onto the passenger seat. I got to get that thing off the road, man.
Yeah. Well, I think we're close. We're a day or so away. We're just Hopefully we'll get the Lincoln Aviator delivered over here. We're just going to bring it on over. The guys at Galpin are going to bring it over.
Yeah, and then let Mike August drive it the other day, and he's went bananas in it.
Oh, he drove your Z?
Yeah.
He can drive stick?
Not really. I mean, it's been a while.
Right, but he must have. Yeah, I mean, he's like at the age where you're like, everybody had to at some point, I think, right?
Yeah. He had Mike had a 914 back in the day.
Okay.
And, he's the age where he started off with a stick, had cars that were sticks. He knows how to drive a stick. He's still a little erratic. But he's erratic in an automatic.
Yeah,
you know?
He's erratic anywhere, just in life, at a dinner table when he's eating ribs. He's a little erratic.
Yeah, so that was an experience. I was in the passenger seat the whole time.
Yeah. Did he have the rev matching on?
I had it on.
And it didn't help him? It didn't smooth things out a little bit?
First thing he was doing is he was short shifting from second to third. Like he'd get up to like 1800 RPM and then drop it into third. And so then I kept telling him, you got to let it breathe in second and then drop it. He's so excited about shifting that he didn't want to he just wanted to immediately grab this. He shifts automatics. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the only guy I know who actively and aggressively shifts automatic transmissions, hands always down there.
Yeah.
Shifting. Okay. You know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. Oh, I'll tell you what would cure Mike. Mike doesn't drink coffee.
Yeah.
When you drink coffee, that right hand, that hand he's using to shift all the time on automatic, that has a mug in it. Okay. That would prevent him from doing that.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if he doesn't drink coffee and that's what caused him to do all the automatic shifting, or he doesn't drink coffee to automatic shift.
Yeah.
And he may not know himself. But
would you train him to drink coffee? Do you have to tape it to his hand like Rocky when he's going from left to righty? You got to tape the arm behind his. You got to tape the mug to Mike's hands while he drives?
I do think when I drive, there's always like a mug in that hand.
Yeah.
So I can barely drive a stick, you know, with the mug in the hand.
Yeah.
But also, in the Z car, there is no flat surface inside of that car to set a mug.
They don't want you drinking coffee.
I guess not.
They want you to shift and focus.
You cannot get in. You can't get into the car and set your mug down somewhere. You have to set on the floor. You have to go in the garage and just, like, put it on the ground. These are first world problems,
people. Yeah, but Nissan... The designer of the Z see that as problem solved.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, look, it's meant to go out and do some spirited driving. I just have had it as my daily driver for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And when you're doing your daily driver, you start throwing shit in the back and leaving your house in the morning and grabbing your shit and your mug and your snack and your whatever. So it's getting a little bit of that use, but hopefully the Aviator will show up post-haste.
I promise the Aviator will have cup holders. I think that's a safe bet.
The Z has a cup holder, but it doesn't have a mug holder. I travel with a mug. It's got this big mug what I traveled here with.
Yeah,
it's got
a
big
handle.
Yeah, also, there's so little room for anything in that car that the mug or cup holder must be monopolized with your earbuds and your keys and whatever the shit you need.
They don't want you to carry weight.
No.
Weight slows you down.
No, but they probably could have got the phone hooked into the system. The thing that's interesting about it is it has the auxiliary. You could listen to your music or your podcast or your whatever via the speakers in the car from the phone, but you cannot have the conversation.
Can't have the conversation. You know, it's interesting because I'm pretty sure the current Z does have certain different versions of it, different up-leveled versions of it, do have more of those features. But on this car, this was supposed to be the lighter weight, sportier, less featured.
I got it. It works. Yeah. It's fun. The Great shifting, very positive, nice short throw, very well laid out, taut, you know, very taut, feels good, stuck to the road. I mean, you realize there's one freeway off-ramp that goes from like the 2 to the 134 or something. I think the posted speed limit is like 40 miles an hour. I do it at 80, and that's with the mug in the one hand. Like, I'm like, if you want to do this at 115, 120, you could do that in this
maybe
car.
Maybe without the mug.
Yeah, so I'm looking
it's planted.
At the 370Z, the owner's manual, the 2020 model year owner's manual of the 50th anniversary 370Z, mentions support for the iPhone 3 and 4, which Apple discontinued about 8 years ago. So
So they're right on. They're pretty much spot on where we thought.
Well, maybe the Z guys. Maybe they're such purists, they're kind of like the guy who owned the bar in Talladega Nights. And he's like, why do you have the Pet Shop Boys on the jukebox? That's a test. So you come in there, start talking about your phone, and does it connect to your phone, and does it? Yeah. You're not Z material.
That's it. You're out.
Yes. Perhaps you'd be more comfortable in a Ford Taurus, sir.
That's right.
Right?
Which they also don't make anymore.
Oh, they don't?
No.
Well, either way, they don't need your business if you're going to be yammering on the phone.
That's
right. You
should
be hearing the sound of that naturally aspirated 3.7 V6 tacking up.
Yeah. Plus, they would have put more sound deadening material and made it heavier so you wouldn't hear the engine if they wanted you to have a chat.
Well, that's the other thing, too. You can't put your phone on speaker and stick it to your windshield and expect to have a conversation because you're hearing the engine.
It's funny because the move I do a lot in a lot of cars is phone on speakerphone, and then I put it in the visor, like I sandwich it in the visor where you'd put your parking, you know, ticket, and because that way it's kind of, you know, most of the speakers, the microphones in your cars when you're doing Bluetooth or whatever, that's kind of where the microphone is. I kind of feel like people can hear if I just wedge it up there. It's kind of, and it holds the phone. You know, if you got a good visor, if you're driving the Aston Martin, good luck.
This visor's only compatible with the iPhone.
Yeah, you couldn't pull the dollar in that thing in the Aston Martin. It wouldn't fit.
3 and 4 in 2020. All right, let me hit Geico here. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you probably do one or the other. You want to make it easy? How about you do a little bundling? You get those policies bundled at geico.com. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or your renter's insurance along with your auto policy. Good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. You go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save, and it's easy when you bundle at Geico. That is geico.com. All right, what else you thinking about, man?
A couple things recently. I sat down with a few of the manufacturers for our SEMA MPMC conference, which is sort of, we've mentioned it in the past. It's where all the magazines and the content creators sit down with the manufacturers in the performance parts world and say, here's some of the projects we've got going on. What's coming new in your performance parts catalog? What can we do? And I did sit down with a number of companies and Holly and Lakespeed Jr., which I always love talking to him. We had a long conversation about breaking in a new engine.
A lot of lube talk with Lake.
And, a lot of talk about the new Bronco and the new full-size Bronco. So many accessories are going to be available from the dealer, but also the performance parts catalog is going to be offering things. One of the ones worth mentioning is so many people are going to get the Bronco and put the bigger tires on it and do a little more overlanding, go a little off-road. So one of the first performance upgrades is going to be a rear differential gear, so you can kind of make up for that tire when you put the bigger tire on there. So that's kind of interesting, talking with those guys. And I got my order in finally. Got the order form for the Mustang Mach 1. I put an order in for a 2021 Mach 1, and I was thinking about some of the options on it. And two of the options I decided not to get, but I had some thought about this. Is you can get the regular seats or the Recaro seats. And you can get the rear seats elite. And I went with the regular seats. So this is my thought on it was the regular seats are power seats with heating and cooling in them. The Recaro seats are manual. And my thought was it's very easy to go from the full power seats to a racing seat, a Recaro seat or whatever, but good luck going the other direction, right? You know, like trying to find the source of the car and it wasn't equipped with power seats and the buttons on the dash won't have the heating and cooling. And one of the cool options is there's a rear seat delete. It's a little bit lighter and it has like kind of a crossbar roll bar thing. Of course, that's going to be available in the Ford racing catalog, but good luck finding a stock rear seat when you know, if you want to go back the other way. So my thought was, I'm going to pass on the Recaro seats, pass on the rear seat delete, and then I could always go to those things later if I wanted to. So that's kind of how we're getting it. But I'm getting it with the performance package.
Yeah, I don't
big Brembo brakes and the gurney flap and.
I don't think the argument would be so much about a practicality of whether you could swap it out or not, because you're definitely right. You'd want to go one direction and not the other direction. I guess the question would be sticker and then what was on the sticker and then, you know, resale, as we started the show talking about, you know, 20 years from now, if someone is saying, and it's hard to tell. Like when I bought the E46 M3.
Yeah.
I got a 6-speed manual because that's what they had. And then a year later, 6 months later, they had the SMG paddle, whatever. And I was like, oh, man, I wish I would have got that. And then later on, it turns out that the 6-speed is worth quite a bit more.
It's worth more. And the SMG ended up having a few problems later.
And, you know, sunroofs and seats and, you know, it's so. What ends up happening is down the road, and I think people are catching on to this now, that there's a way to outfit the car.
Yeah.
Now, there's one way to outfit the car that's the 20-year resale plan, and then there's a way to do it where I'm going to drive this car. I want a power seat. Like, I completely concur. The heat, the air, the cooling in the seat and the power seat, like that's what you want in a daily driver.
And it's going to be way more comfortable. And those buttons are going to be like on the dash, the center console. So you wouldn't be able to add those later. I mean, it would be work. You'd have to buy all
No, you wouldn't.
Stuff.
No, it's the only reason for what I'm saying is if you 20 years from now, when you sell it, there might be a bump for the rear seat delete on the sticker and the Recaro, whatever, on the sticker.
Which is interesting. So I
might
filled
be,
out,
I don't know.
I filled out my form and I submitted it back to the Ford guy and I got an appearance package and the performance package. And he said, this is a good spec. And I said, yeah, because here's my thought on the seats. And he said, oh, and what I didn't know is he said, yes, a lot of people are, when they get the performance pack, they get the Recaro seats. He goes, but the standard seats, the power heated and cooled seats with the appearance package come with striping and an orange contrast. He goes, which is now going to end up being more rare because everyone's going with the Recaro seats.
Well, that's the argument then for that.
So he, after I put it in, he's like, no, this is a good spec. He's like, let me tell you why. And I was like, all right, it works for me. So now I got to just wait.
How long?
A few months. It's spring. I don't know if that means April or May or what, but you know, that's it. That's it's going to be the performance package is going to be cool because the performance package has, you know, the big brake upgrades, has the big Brembo brakes on it. It has the upgraded wheels, so the wheels are a 19-inch, but
the two-piece Hatton rotor.
I believe it is. I can't say for sure.
And
I can't.
The rear?
Yeah, I can't say for sure because we don't have all the specs on it. We don't have it all. But the wheels, although they're a 19-inch and they're 1-inch wider, they're lighter than the standard wheel.
Mm-hmm.
They said 1.77 pounds lighter in the front and 2.2 in the back.
Unsprung, baby.
And the aerodynamics are functional, improved. It's got the gurney flap on the wing and the back and.
What color did you get?
Right. So that's been the question that we put out to everybody on social media as well. I did end up getting Jet Fighter Gray. And it is the hero car that's in the photos. And I know the blues look good and stuff. But the reason why is the Jet Fighter Gray, in the photos, they look kind of white, but it is kind of a gray. It's a little bit like almost like a putty. And the appearance package for that vehicle is unique to the Jet Fighter Gray, and it's the black Mach 1 stripes, but with the orange pinstripe. And then with the performance package, the calipers are orange. And then that stripe on the seat that I was talking about is a matching orange as well. But it's only unique to the Jet Fighter Gray package. If you got one of the other colors with it, with an appearance package, it's a different color combination, and you can't get it on that. So, so this is basically Chris has shown us a few pictures, but this is basically the car. And Ford's press release pictures were so brightly lit, it looks white, but it does have a little bit of a gray in it.
Yeah.
And then on the hood, when
it's a
you
good
look,
color.
Thank you. On the hood, when you look at the Mach 1 stripes, they did a neat job where it's a gloss black and it goes to a satin black, and then it's outlined with the color, in this case the orange stripe. So it's got some neat stuff into it. So the appearance package, like I said, is the gurney flap on the rear wing, and then that front splitter is extended out more. It's more functional. You know, as long as we don't hit anything with it.
You can't raise and lower the front.
You can't raise and lower the front, no. But and a tuned magnetic ride, and it's got the 6-speed manual transmission with a Tremec transmission. So the normal 6-speeds, other than the GT350 on the regular Mustangs, is not the Tremec. And the Tremec is far more durable. So you can actually, you know, if you're going to add power or something to it, you don't run the risk of damaging that transmission, which is one of the cool things about the GT350 that everybody kind of wanted in a Bullet or a performance pack GT. Well, this car has it. So,
are you going to monkey with the horsepower?
I might. It's going to come down to, you know, I was talking to the Ford guys a little bit about it as well. What's interesting is the GT500, which you just drove, only comes with the DCT transmission, the paddle shift 7-speed, and it's 760 horsepower. So the Mach 1, they're saying they're taking bits that they learned from the GT350 and the GT500. It has the best aero. It has the right combination of suspension bits from both of those cars. They said around the track, it is the fastest or best handling Mustang they've ever done. The GT500 is quicker around the track because of the horsepower, but horsepower is easy to make, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you could take a Mach 1, slap on one of the superchargers, you know, Roush, Ford Performance, Whipple, any one of those guys, you're going to get that same horsepower, that 750 to 800 range, but are you also getting some of the improved aero and suspension bits that was learned from the 350 and the 500. So are you arguably getting something better than a GT500? Or are you getting, at the very least, a version of GT500 with a true manual transmission instead of a paddle shift?
Well, you know, Ford's come a long way with the Mustang. And, you know, when I met you, I didn't like Mustangs. And now I do, because they have changed and I haven't. But they've improve their product to the point where now it's a great piece.
Mostly it's me. Most of you like me.
Nah, I didn't.
No, mostly the car. Mostly the car got
it's
better.
The car. All right, why don't you hit Dodge?
All right, so you know, Dodge has officially opened orders for the new 2021 Durango SRT Hellcat. This is the most powerful SUV ever. And exclusive for 2021, it features a 710 horsepower engine, a new aggressive exterior styling, and new interior with a driver-centric cockpit. I saw some of the numbers on this thing. It's like 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds. I think they ran 1150s in the quarter mile with this. It is a 3-passenger row vehicle. So all buyers will also receive a full day of pro instruction at the Bondurant High Performance Driving School, which we highly recommend. So deliveries begin early this year. And you know that Dodge was ranked number one for initial quality and best driver appeal for mass market brands by J.D. Power. It's the first brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. So see your local Dodge dealer today or visit Dodge.com to schedule a test drive.
All right. You can head out to Bricktown Comedy Club, February 26th, 27th. That's in Oklahoma City. You go to amcroll.com for all the live shows and touring, and check out our YouTube page and see all the free stand-up there. What do you got, Matt?
Just doing some upgrades to the new shop, the new warehouse. I got the floors and stuff done. Well, I'll post pictures all up on my social media. Follow me at Motivator.
So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's okay if you aren't ready for kids right now. It's okay if you don't want to be a mom now or even ever. It's nobody's decision but yours. But do you know what's not okay? Not knowing how effective your birth control is. Talk to your doctor about effective birth control options so you can make an informed decision. Tap to learn more.